At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome to a brand new Bears Over Beers podcast. Not the first season of Bears Over Beers, but we got a whole new staff coming at you. And tonight we got two of the four new hosts of this program. My name's Ryan Drosty of Windy City Gridiron, and I am joined here tonight by the NFL draft guru himself, Mr. Jacob Infante. Jacob, how are you doing tonight, man?
I'm doing great. I'm excited to be, you know, a part of this, as I'm sure you are too. It's a pretty high bar that we got to live up to, but I'm excited for it. I'm just happy that football's back and, you know, we're here talking about it. So, I mean, it doesn't get any better than that.
Football, beer, what's not to love? What's not to love?
Guys being dudes.
Guys being dudes. Yeah, the whole thing. Guys, yeah, I mean, I kind of react like you because I had tuned into the show over the years, you know, with EJ and Jeff, and they did such an awesome job. And when they told me, hey, you know, we might be kind of stepping back and we're looking for some guys, I was thrilled to be able to join the staff because, I mean, this is my jam. Like I said, beer, talking football. I mean, it's going to be a good time.
Yeah, no, and I know, you know, Jeff and EJ have a lot to be proud of from their time here. There's, you know, both, you know, a lot going on in their plates. EJ's doing his bootleg stuff. You know, JB's pretty busy with other Second City Gridiron stuff. So I'm grateful to be a part of it. I know you are too. And, you know, the rest of the group that we've got here going on, it should be a fun year. So I'm looking forward to it and I'm just grateful to be a part of it.
Yeah, absolutely. And you guys can support us tonight. Like the video, share the video, make sure that you subscribe here to the Second City Gridiron page. Of course, if you want to listen to us after the fact, maybe you want to listen to the show twice, maybe you want to watch it and then you want to listen to it on the podcast feed, you can do that. Just search Second City Gridiron wherever podcasts are found, and you can listen to Jacob and I a second time, a third time, drink a second beer, drink a third beer, you know, man, whatever you want to do. And then next week we got Kyrie and Brian, who are also going to be hosting this show. We're going to get kind of a rotation. I think at some point during the season, we're all going to kind of intermingle and do shows together. So we're going to keep it fresh every single week. So just, yeah, make sure you subscribe to the channel or the podcast feed so that you never miss a show. And, you know, like we said here in the intro, it's all about football. It's all about beer. And Jacob, we got to live up to the gimmick here on Bears Over Beer. Oh, yeah. What do you got in the can, in the glass, in the bottle? What do you have for us tonight?
All right, so I got this from the prestigious liquor store known as the Gas Station. This is the first one that I'm going with. It's a Voodoo Ranger Juice Force IPA. I'm not a huge IPA guy, I'll be real. In all honesty, I'm more of a cider guy, so boo, whatever. I don't know. But I decided to go in this direction. I know it seems like it's got like a little bit of an orange twinge to it. So I opened it up, but I haven't tried it yet. So I'm, you know, I haven't had this brand before, so this is all new to me. So, I'll turn it over to you though. I'm curious if you got something that's, you know, a little more interesting.
I mean, you know, it's ironic. I actually am like a big beer store guy. I love to go to the liquor store, look at the new craft beer. So I'll be drinking something new on this show every single week. Yeah. But tonight I was just scrambling, you know, it was a busy night at the house. I got three young kids, my wife, you know, she works a lot too. And I'm like, I got to get a new beer because all I had in the fridge was what I was drinking last week when we did, you know, the big roundtable show. And I'm like, I can't disappoint these listeners. I can't have the same beer again. So I ran, the gas station was the closest place to me, and I got, this is Big Grove Brewery out of my home state of Iowa, Iowa City. I know those Cyclones won last week, but it's an Iowa City brewery. It is a Easy Eddie Fresh and Juicy IPA. So Jacob, very similar to what you have. So, I mean, I am an IPA guy personally.
Okay. Now that's something I've been trying to make the jump over to IPAs. I feel like it's a rite of passage. Eventually I'll get around to it. But who knows? I mean, maybe, you know, taking the, you know, having these with you, you know, being a part of the show and the rotation here, maybe I'll come around to it. But, yeah, I know it's also a little interesting. My college days aren't too far behind me, and I'm used to everyone drinking, you know, essentially just piss water. So this is going to be, this is going to be new to me as I foray into the more classy beers. So, you know, bear with me on this one. But yeah, I'm just, you know, again, I'll be along for the ride, and, you know, if you have any recommendations, then I will absolutely, take you up on those.
Oh, I have plenty, my friend. And I will be I don't want to make it sound like I'm going to make you some kind of craft beer alcoholic or something like that. But I'm going to have to send you a list of some stuff, because craft beer is definitely my thing. I do still keep some of the piss water in the fridge in the garage. I mean, you got to have that for those days when you're mowing and stuff like that. But I mean, I'm definitely an IPA guy. When I'm watching Bears games, I'm usually drinking IPAs. I see Brian, you know, one of our co-hosts is in the chat here. He likes the Voodoo Ranger. So you got an endorsement there from Brian. That is good. Here starting off on a high footing here, Jacob.
Yeah, no, I'm feeling pretty good about it. I haven't taken a sip, so I'll get into that. But yeah, getting the, you know, getting Brian's seal of approval makes me feel a little bit better about all this. So yeah, it bombs away, I guess.
It's solid. I've had that one. I can't fault you too much, but yeah, I'll get you next time we're doing a show together. I'm going to send you some recommendations.
Yeah.
All right.
Cool. Pretty good. Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, good stuff. And this one is all pretty light IPA, this Easy Eddie. I think you can find it most places in the Midwest. Yeah, it's good stuff. Pick it up if you guys are out there and you're looking for something new to drink. And if you're in the chat room and you're drinking with us, please let us know what you're drinking. You can tweet the show too. Put this out on our Twitter a little bit ago, at Bears Over Beers. We'll retweet your photo. You know, show yourself watching our show. Put the beer in the picture. We'll send it out to our legions of followers and make you famous. That is our pledge to you on this show. So let's, without any further ado, Jacob, let's get to what happened in week one. You know, this is going to be our pivot show. We're going to keep it pretty loose here on Second City Gridiron. We're going to kind of wrap up our thoughts on what we just saw the prior weekend. We're going to get some news a little bit. And then towards the end of the show, we're going to look ahead to the next week's game. So we are going to be talking Texans here in a little bit, but just to kind of wrap our thoughts on what we saw week one against the Titans, I do believe we were both at Soldier Field for that game. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yeah, no, we were. I don't know. I was in 230 something over there. Okay. It was by the south end zone kind of over there, but I know as sure as you do, it was really just fun to be back there, honestly. And, you know, getting to see the atmosphere, you know, before the game started, and then after the defense, you know, started picking things up and, you know, making some plays. It was just a lot of fun to be back there, honestly. I don't care if I was paying like $20 for a beer, or I bought my dad because I went with him. I bought him the Odunze dog. I didn't realize it was going to be $18 for that thing. So I feel like I got screwed over a little bit when he made me go get it. But
should it be $15? Did they miss an opportunity there? Isn't that the obvious answer?
It should be, right? I mean, it's still probably way more, you know, than it's probably, you know, cost to make. But you get a nice little Odunze tie-in. So, but no, they've, you know, the $3 extra are really going a long way. So if that's what helps get the Bears a new center or a new right guard, then I'll take it. But I highly doubt that's going to be the case.
I wasn't too far from you. I was in, I believe, 223 in the south end zone.
Oh, sweet.
So this is what professionals we are. You know, Jacob and I had never really talked until about 5-10 minutes ago. We were at the game. We didn't even know it. We could have met up this weekend. Totally blew it. Maybe some other time. I was also there with my father. And, oh, nice. Yeah, yeah, we had a good time. You know, Soldier Field is fun to be at. In the aftermath, it is a pain to get out of.
Oh yeah.
You know, I was driving out of town. It took me a long time to get out of there from downtown. Maybe, you know, me and my dad were talking in the car. I'm like, all right, let's get the shovels in the ground in Arlington. I mean, let's make this a little easier. I like the lakefront like anybody, but not to get too off track. What are your thoughts on the stadium situation right now?
Yeah, I mean, I'm Team Arlington, honestly. I mean, I can't lie, and I'll say that the proposal that the city of Chicago has did look pretty nice. I like the, you know, the column still staying up, having that as like a, you know, an open, you know, park sort of deal. But I mean, at the same time, like it's even then, I feel like there's still the same issues with traffic, the same issues with parking. I think those are two, you know, glaring issues with the stadium. I don't, from a fan experience perspective, I don't really care if there's a roof or not. You know, I'm sure it would make more money, you get more Super Bowls, get more, you know, other events, whatever. But I don't really care. I just care more about, you know, is it fun to be in the stadium, which in Soldier Field, yeah, it's fun to be there. But getting there and leaving is a pain in the ass. So I think I'm Team Arlington for that case. Just, but you know, I want to see a little bit more flexibility. But I don't know. I'm curious, you know, what your thoughts are on it, because I feel like it's oddly divisive, I feel like.
It is. And I mean, my thoughts on it kind of are, I like the, you know, the pictures of what they put out looked fantastic. No question about it. And, you know, if money was no object here and, you know, there was no question about them getting funding to do this, I'm like, all right, you know, let's roll. But I just think the feasibility of building that thing south of where the stadium currently is and still having games in the current Soldier Field just doesn't seem realistic to me. Yeah. And, you know, I think it's just going to take a long time to get anywhere trying to get, you know, some agreements out of the state government. So to me, it's like, look, we already own the land. You know, they could put the shovel in the ground tomorrow if they wanted to. They can own everything around the stadium. It just seems like it makes total sense to get this thing in Arlington and to get going on. I mean, I want to see the new stadium sooner rather than later. I don't want this to be 10, 15 years from now. Yeah. So I'm totally Team Arlington too. You know, in an ideal world, would it be sweet to still have it down there? Yes. But I mean, there's that congestion's terrible, man. I'm not going to lie. I don't get too worked up in traffic, but yeah, it was real bad this weekend getting out of there on 290. Real bad.
It takes like an hour to even like to get out of the city. And then if you live an hour out, then it's an additional hour on top of that. So basically whatever your travel is, you know, double it, triple it, whatever. It sucks. So I don't know. I mean, I'm impartial to Soldier Field just cause you know, I grew up watching the Bears there. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you know, from a logistics perspective, it makes sense to move, from, you know, a lot of different reasons it makes sense to move. So I don't know, I guess we'll see, but I'm with you. I hope like 10, 15 years from now, this isn't a conversation we're still having and we're, you know, enjoying wherever the Bears are playing now.
We'll be like, welcome to Bears Over Beers season 20. Where the hell are the Bears going to play next year?
You know? It's like, oh, they still have that Arlington land that they haven't dug any shovels into yet or something like that.
The weeds are getting out of control. 20 years of weeds. Lester, the boss man, is in the chat. Look at this. He says, I love the idea of a bear-centric locale with tons of fun stuff around the stadium. And that's the Arlington Heights footprint. Exactly. I mean, you can just picture what that would be like with them owning everything around the stadium, and you could just do whatever they wanted, you know, the freedom to do that. Love that idea.
Possibilities are endless.
Yeah. So in current Soldier Field on Sunday, I mean, that place was electric. There has not been this kind of excitement at a home opener since 2019, that opener against the Packers, I would say. And much like the opener against the Packers in 2019 on Thursday night that year, this place lost everything within the first, you know, quarter. I would say, you know, all the air went out of the building. It was eerie how quiet it was. You know, we had the perfect start in this game, Jacob. They just stopped them in their tracks. The first two drives could not have had better field position, couldn't score. And then that third drive, you know, the Titans go all the way down. And it was the one drive where the defense looked bad all day after they looked so good those first two drives. I'm sure you've had a chance, you know, to go back and watch the game tape like I have since then a couple of times, one time, whatever you needed to do. Anything that really stood out to you watching it all back that maybe you didn't notice live when you were at the stadium?
So I'd say that looking back on it, you know, it was like a second rewatch. I think the offensive line did better than I thought they were when I watched them live. And that's not to say as a unit, they were fantastic. I think, you know, Coleman Shelton didn't have a great game at center. Ryan Bates was just okay when he came in at right guard. And, you know, it wasn't Tevin Jenkins' best game by any means. But I think both the tackles, Braxton Jones and Tevin Jenkins, did a good job. Or not Tevin Jenkins, Darnell Wright. I think they both did a good job. Held up well in pass pro. You know, created some movement in the run game. Nate Davis, I was like, it's whatever. It's Nate Davis. You know, he sucks. Then I went through and PFF graded him very well. And I'm like, oh, that's interesting, because I knew that they took him out and they put Ryan Bates in place with him. I wasn't too impressed with Ryan Bates. So I went back to watch, and Nate Davis was surprisingly pretty good. He wasn't great. I think, you know, there were still like one or two plays where, you know, he got beat off the line of scrimmage or something like that. Or, you know, he allowed some initial pressure, you know, in pass protection. But I think he held his own in the run game. He was one of the few guys that did. He looked quicker than I remember him looking last year. So I think that bits and pieces of the offensive line were better than I ended up expecting them to be. I mean, with the offensive line, it's a matter of, oh, you're only as good as your worst player. So I feel like, you know, maybe people soured on the unit as a whole, but there were some good individual performances up front there.
Yeah, no, I kind of had the same reaction to Nate Davis in particular when I went back and watched it, because, you know, being in the stadium, when you saw him go out and Bates come in, I'm figuring, you know, it was hard to tell for sure when you're there, but I'm like, man, he must be having a terrible game. You know, big surprise, given all the practice he missed, you know, in training camp. Yeah, when I went back and watched, you know, I had one of the watchings on the, you know, the condensed version on NFL Plus, where I'm just watching the O-line, you know, and I'm watching him, and especially in run blocking, you know, he looked really good, I thought. Yeah. And I was kind of stunned, you know, because I saw you tweet out that he had the highest PFF ranking this week of any offensive player. And of course, there are people in your comments like, what the hell? You would be shocked, though, if you go back and you watch it. Like, yeah, like you said, there was a couple times where he kind of whiffed or he was out of position. But, you know, like Lester has a really good breakdown, by the way, on Windy City Gridiron right now, you know, where he goes through the line play. You guys should all check that out. But like, when you really own in and you watch that line play, you're going to be surprised at what you see. Again, you're not going to, it's not perfect. You know, he could definitely be better, but you know, I feel like he's just kind of in the doghouse a little bit right now. And that's kind of why he got taken out. And they're trying this rotation to, you know, kind of see which direction they want to take the offensive line. But he definitely was better than he looked. Coleman Shelton, yeah, again, like you said, not great. Jenkins kind of surprised me on the rewatch when I watched him. You expect really good things out of him when he's totally healthy. I think most people would say he's probably our best all around lineman.
Yeah.
And this was definitely not his best game, was it?
No, definitely not. And I think that it's, you know, an interesting case, because you're looking at like that Titans interior defensive line. I mean, Jeffrey Simmons is really good. And not only that, but also just, you know, Tavondre Sweat was really even more impressive than I thought. I think he shouldn't have fallen as far as he did in round three, and Tennessee got a steal there. But even I wasn't expecting right out of the gate how good he was going to look. And that's a tough thing for a guy like Coleman Shelton. You're a little bit of an undersized center to go up against, you know, either as a nose tackle or a one technique, you know, wherever you have him. A guy like Sweat, who's considerably bigger than you. And not only that, but a guy who's pretty quick off the line of scrimmage for his size, and a guy who's got, you know, a good variety of hand moves he can use to, you know, stack and shed blocks. That's just a nightmare matchup. And Tevin, I think, was, you know, a part of that, and a little bit less so because he didn't face Sweat as much. But still, I mean, it wasn't an easy matchup for him, but at the same time, you still expect a little bit more out of him. I mean, it's year four for him. He's coming off a great year last year, and a, you know, a very good year the year before that. He's looking like someone who could be in range for some big money if he can stay healthy this year. So, you know, I was a little surprised, you know, going back and looking at it. I was like, he didn't really do all that great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was by far, you know, my most surprising part of watching the O-line. Like I said, I kind of expected Davis to be worse than he was. I definitely thought Shelton would be real bad. And, you know, he was at times, maybe not as bad as I thought live. You know, him falling on his back and getting just bull rushed. I mean, that's going to be every team we play now. They're going to be making bets if they can do that, if they can knock him on his back, unfortunately for him. So he's going to have to prevent that from happening every single week. But yeah, that the center, the interior of the line, not great. You know, we're going to have to do better this week. I think when we get to this talking about what the run game needs to do, when we talk about the Texans here in a little bit. But yeah, I mean, I thought the tackles did pretty decent, you know, overall. And I was pleasantly surprised by that. But yeah, I mean, overall, I think the run blocking was good. Pass blocking, you know, left some things to be desired. Caleb at times, you know, obviously didn't have a great game, but at other times, maybe when you rewatched it, did you notice anything different about Caleb's game?
I wouldn't say really anything different. I mean, the one thing I'd say is I think that he did look a little bit better than I thought he was going to look on tape. Not to say he was great, because he wasn't. It was a pretty disappointing debut, all things considered. But even then, I mean, you see the creativity, you see the arm strength, you see the athleticism. And he was a good, for the most part, he was a good decision maker. I think that, you know, when he did throw the ball, he wasn't reckless necessarily. I think that he did a good job of finding the open man. Honestly, he just missed him. It's more of an accuracy issue than anything else, which I believe will be changed or will be fixed, rather, just because, you know, in USC, he wasn't inaccurate. At Oklahoma, he wasn't inaccurate. In the preseason, he wasn't inaccurate. So I think it's just more so adrenaline or jitters or something like that, whatever the case may be. Maybe it's chemistry with the starting receivers. I'm not sure. But it's still very early. I think, you know, the decision making was there. You know, other than like, you know, two or so plays, like the one where he ran backwards like 15 yards and got sacked. Yeah. Like, that's obviously not acceptable. But I do think also part of it is I think he still thinks he has to be Superman, you know, because he's so used to that at USC, at Oklahoma. He had to carry the team. He had to, you know, carry, you know, a bulk of the load. And it's like, all right, the defense just gave up a touchdown. Score a touchdown and we have to do it back. And also the offensive line can't, you know, produce, and also the receivers can't separate. He doesn't have that in Chicago. He's got much better receivers. He's got a better O-line. I mean, it's not an elite O-line, but it's something. And he's got a really good defense. So he doesn't need to be playing this, you know, backyard style all the time necessarily. He doesn't need to do everything.
Yeah.
He just needs to, you know, get the ball out. He needs to be accurate. If things fall apart, then yeah, he'll have to, you know, make some plays. He'll have to improvise. But I think, you know, there's a lot less risk, or a lot less, you know, of a workload that he's going to have to carry, at least from a, you know, from a value perspective.
Yeah. Well said. Yeah. I mean, I kind of had similar thoughts. I felt watching it back, especially that, you know, his errors seem all very fixable. It seems like you said, he was making the right decisions. And we've seen past quarterbacks for the Bears so many times where when you watch the tape back, you know, they're missing something, they're not going through their progressions. And it seemed like most of the time he was finding the guy he was supposed to find. He was just really inaccurate, which is so uncharacteristic of him. So I don't imagine that that's going to continue, as he said. Yeah. And, you know, he mostly was going where you would want him to go with the ball. So, I mean, I feel like that can be fixed. When he missed Keenan Allen down the left sideline, right, you know, right away early in the game, he overthrew him by so much. I mean, that was my first thought too, is he's just too excited, you know, home opener, first real NFL game. He's real amped up and he just overthrew him. And we saw that happen again to Carter later in the game. And I don't know if that played in with the general inaccuracy. I got to think so. And, you know, hopefully he settles down this week. But yeah, I mean, as far as decision-making goes, really the most egregious one was when he took the 19-yard sack, you know, obviously, and took him out of field goal range. I believe that was supposed to be a screen to Swift. It was play action, and he was supposed to go to Swift, and then he couldn't, and then he tried to extend the play, and he was looking for someone to throw the ball to, but there was really nobody to throw the ball to given the play call, and then he takes that sack. I mean, that was the one that was, you know, the bad example. But overall, yeah, you watch it back, and you're like, yeah, man, if he could have just hit him right on the numbers, that's really good. And then if you watch this in like two halves, so the first half, he was very bad. You watch the second half, though, you know, when they needed a good drive, he had a good drive. They were making the first down, you know, connections. They weren't long connections by any means, but, you know, him and DJ were hooking up and looking pretty good. He hit Keenan a few times. I mean, we got to see more of Cole Kmet, though, this week. I mean, I was stunned by how little Cole Kmet was out there, because he's that guy who can kind of settle in, you know, find the open place on the field, you know, get the ball to him. He's the safety net. I mean, the usage of him, did that shock you?
No, definitely did. And I mean, I'm not necessarily, you know, I look at it, he had one catch for how, you know, like 15 yards, give or take. It doesn't necessarily shock me. I just think more that's surprising to me is the snap counts. I think Gerald Everett's a completely fine tight end, maybe a little more athletic than Kmet, but he's not a better player. And I think you paid Cole Kmet, you extended him, and it's a valuable thing to have a tight end who, you know, like you said, he's the safety valves, the security blanket. He knows how to work himself open against zone coverage. He knows how to just sit in the soft spot and be like, hey, I'm open. Give me the ball. I'm a big body. I'll catch it. I'll get the short gain. You know, I think that's a valuable thing to have, especially for a rookie quarterback. And they didn't really utilize him that much. So I don't know. I mean, I've said, I think it kind of comes down to matchup. Maybe they had some times where it's like, oh, let's have some of our receivers in the slot, because Gerald Everett lined up outside. You know, he lined up out wide a little bit more than we've seen a Bears tight end line up out wide in recent years. But you know, you got Legarius Sneed outside, maybe it'd be easier. Let's just put a tight end on him, and then we'll have, you know, try and work these receivers open in the slot, or, you know, on the field side or something like that against, you know, lesser corners, whatever the case may be. But yeah, I truthfully do. I'd like to see Kmet a little bit more in the receiving game, or just in general, because I think he's the better player, and, you know, you should put yourself in the best situation to succeed and play your game. I think is the most important thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I guess what we're saying is we want to see Waldron maybe settle in on the lineups a little bit more this week at Houston, because there's some puzzling groupings out there. I thought that for sure too. So, yeah, I mean, I guess the big win, besides the Bears literally winning, was special teams. I mean, outside of the Velus Jones situation, which was real bad. Not only does he fumble a kickoff, but then it goes off of his foot like 20 yards in front of him. How that even happens,
I don't even know.
There's a lot of swearing going on in the south end zone. I'll just say that after that happened. I don't want to get us kicked off of YouTube, but I mean, yeah, they've tried with Velus for so long, and it's just really, really hard to justify his place on the team at this point. I hate to say it. I hate to say this about the Ferret King, you know, but
yeah,
it's rough. But I mean, outside of Velus, Jacob, special teams was outstanding on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, like, real quick, I'll say on Velus, I think you're looking at, he was drafted as a wide receiver. That's not working. He can't, you know, separate consistently. He can't make catches consistently. And if you're a backup, you have to play special teams. They're thinking, oh, the new kick return rules, he'll be better at it. But in kick returns and in punt returns in years past, he has a ball security issue. He keeps fumbling. And I think, literally in the first game of the year for him to fumble, I think that's a massive, like, hey, you know, there's a problem here. That and with, you know, DeAndre Carter getting a massive gain, I think that's huge. He played a big role in why the special teams was so good. Kyrell Santos hit all three of his field goal attempts. Daniel Hardy had that punt block, and Jonathan Owens took it back for a touchdown. So I think it's a very Chicago Bears way to win. Have your quarterback throw for next to no passing yards. The offense just looks terrible, but the defense scores a touchdown. They force some turnovers. The special teams makes a couple big plays. Such an old school Bears way to win a game. And I know it's funny that that's how it happened with this new era of Bears football with, you know, new quarterbacks and new receivers and stuff like that. It's still the defense and special teams that won them this game. So, I mean, hats off to the unit as a whole. I think that, you know, the fact that they were able to bounce back from, you know, like such a comically bad play, like that Velus fumble.
Yeah.
I think that says a lot about the unit as a whole and, you know, how they're coached by Richard Hightower. But man, it's when that first happened, I was like, all right, I jumped into that cut him today mode. And like the teams rarely ever do that. The teams never say like, oh, you made one bad play, you're done. Like they rarely ever do that. But I was like, you need to do that with Velus because he's toast. So yeah, needless to say, I want to see DeAndre Carter back there, you know, taking kicks, at least make him one of the two guys. Cause you know, you have the split returners now, it seems to be where the league's trending towards. So, yeah, I mean, sorry, Velus, but you know, hope you can make the most out of like your two touches on offense out of the backfield. Cause you know, Lord knows, you know, if someone kicks to you, you're probably just going to fumble it. So, and again, I hate to say it. I don't want to be the guy like, oh, let's crap on him as a person, whatever. He's a good dude.
Yeah.
But you know, just it's not working. It's not working.
And I was stunned that they like second half, even after that, they kept going back to him on offense, you know, the swing pass, you know, he got a handoff, I believe. I mean, like after what happened, that was stunning. You know, if he would have fumbled again, people would have been real mad. But I mean, yeah, you said it. I mean, Carter was awesome on returns. Santos was money. You know, the block and then Jonathan Owens running in the touchdown really changed the momentum of the game. So, you know, special teams. And then, of course, I mean, we mentioned it earlier, the defense, you know, outside of that one drive where I think they gave up an 80-yard drive, you know, for the first scoring drive for the Titans. I mean, overall, hard to complain about the defense too much. I mean, the secondary, for the most part, was really good. I mean, both Jalen and Tyreek were amazing. And of course, Stevenson getting that game winning interception return. You mentioned, you know, such a Bears way to win. And like people in the crowd around me, I was talking about it. It was like, all right, this is going to have to be like the 06 game against Arizona. Yeah. And then when we got that interception, pick six, I was like, my God, this is just like Mike Brown in 2001 in the back to back games against, I believe, the Browns and the Niners. It's like, we're going to win on a pick six. And it was so weird because we're expecting to see such a different era of Bears football with the quarterback hopefully in place and, you know, these wide receivers that we have and everything. And it's like, wow, I've seen this before. I'll take the W, but this is not at all how I imagine it going. And also the D-line, Jacob, they had constant pressure on Levis, I felt like. And, I mean, this Daryl Taylor trade. Six-round pick. I mean, this is looking like highway robbery again. You know, you talk about what we do at the Panthers, but he was incredible in this game. You know, just coming in at spurts at the beginning on third down, and they put him in more in the second half. I mean, what did you think of his performance?
I mean, I came away really impressed. I think that, especially with, you know, with a guy like Montez Sweat, who surprisingly he was average. At least by his standards, honestly. But, you know, you've got a guy like him who's so big and so strong and so fast, that's going to open up some opportunities. You know, essentially you're facing one-on-ones every play almost. And I think Daryl Taylor really took advantage of that. And I thought he was quick. I thought he was flexible turning the corner. I think that he's a hits guy. I think that's something where, you know, cheap, shameless plug, whatever. But in my, like the scouting reports I posted on my Patreon, I said, Taylor is a hits guy. You can see he flies to the ball. He chases down the quarterback hard. He, you know, in the run game, he's, you know, he's out in space. He's, you know, working hard to try and get to the ball. And, you know, even if he's not the best run defender, I don't think they, you know, he wasn't that in Seattle. He was okay against the run against the Titans, but rushing the passer, I mean, he was really good. And I think if you can get like even decent, you know, production out of him, that's again, highway robbery. Like last year he had what? maybe 6-7 sacks, was it, for the Seahawks?
Mm-hmm.
So I pulled it. 5.5 last year, but 9.5 the year before, and then 6.5 in 21. So he's produced, he's produced at a pretty high level, even comparative to some of the other edge rushers the Bears have had these last few years. So I think that if you have him, DeMarcus Walker is a guy who can, set the edge, defend the run well. Austin Booker is someone who can rotate in there. I mean, sure, you'd still have to figure out, all right, who's the guy long-term opposite Montez Sweat? Mm-hmm. But for this year, that's not terrible. Yeah. And you're right. And the defensive line as a whole was very impressive. Constant pressure up the middle. Things look good. Dexter and Billings both had really good games. DeMarcus Walker had a really good game. So I came away very impressed with the defensive line, and that was expected to be a weakness. Certainly wasn't on Sunday. So, I mean, hats off to that group. So because they did a hell of a job.
Yeah. If this D line keeps playing like this, I mean, there's really no weakness, at any level on this defense. That's what we were all worried about. All the talk preseason was, how's the D line going to be and how's the O line going to be? And we came out of this first game, not happy with the O line, but I mean, overjoyed with the D line. Couldn't have been more impressed. They far exceeded my expectations, and honestly, Austin Booker's a guy who a lot of us on the Windy City Gridiron staff have been talking up, and we want to see him get some snaps. He only had 6 snaps in this game. Saw him come out there a few times, but yeah, with Taylor making that step up in this game, with Walker playing good, it's going to be harder for him to get snaps. I still think he can also, like you said, be a guy who produces at a high level for them in spurts too. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, those tackles, we wanted to see them step it up. They did. They keep playing like this. And I mean, this defense is going to be really, really hard to score against. So yeah, I was really, really happy with what we saw out of the defense on Sunday. Who would you have given your game balls to, on all three areas of the team? Because I wrote my article on Windy City Gridiron. I'm going to give a cheap plug here. I'll tell you who, I gave my game ball to. I was trying to keep it to one person in each phase. Yeah. I ended up breaking my rule. It was just too tough. On defense, I gave it to Stevenson and Taylor. Stevenson for the winning pick 6. I know Jalen graded higher than him, but the pick 6, I had to give it to him. And then Taylor just, stunned me at how good he was in that game. And then special teams, I went with Hardy for the block and Owens for the TD. Same play. I mean, easily could have gone with Carter because of how good he was on returns. Could have gone with Cairo because he was money. Offense was a little harder. I honestly, I hadn't watched the O-line that much when I wrote the article. Given how little the offense produced, I guess you maybe could have gone with one of the tackles here. I ended up going with DJ because he made a couple of big plays late when we needed first downs. But who would you have gone to on those game ball awards if you were writing that?
Yeah, so I wouldn't have gone too far away from the line of thinking that you had, honestly. I think on offense, I'd probably go Darnell Wright. I mean, no sacks, hits, pressures allowed. I think, that's a really good start to the year. Defense, again, is tough for a different reason, just because there's so many guys who performed well. I was thinking Jalen Johnson, and I know, I wouldn't blame you for saying Taylor or Stevenson or even Walker. I know Stevenson won the NFL Defensive Player of the Week because he had his pick 6. He had another deflection on top of that. But I think Jalen was just maybe a little more quietly, but he looked like a shutdown cornerback 1 like he did last year. And that's exactly why, I think DeAndre Hopkins didn't have a good, he had 1 catch. Calvin Ridley didn't do much against him. I don't remember if Tyler Boyd lined up against him at all, but he was quiet all game. So I'm going to go Jalen Johnson on defense, and then special teams. Again, like you said, it's so tough because you can go any of those 4 guys. I'm going DeAndre Carter though. I think that, he had that massive kick return, like 60 something yards, looked good as a punt returner too. And given the inconsistency the Bears have had, return specialists over the last couple of years, I mean, there's you know, Jakeem Grant was good for a year. Cordarrelle Patterson was good for a while, but, you know, Valus hasn't really worked out. Trent Taylor didn't really work out last year. You know, they've had a couple guys, you know, in and out. Carter looked good though. And yeah. I think that that's in an ideal world that sets up the offense to score touchdowns. It didn't happen this week, but that's no fault of DeAndre Carter. So I'd give him the award for this week. But again, it's a really tough exercise, like you said, because there are, you know, a good handful of guys, especially on defense and special teams, where it's like, all right, you could genuinely make the argument for those dudes too.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there was a little bad news coming out of this game, and right after our break here, I'm going to bring up some new news that we have on Rome Odunze and what that injury is looking like. So I'm going to throw out the break right now. We will be right back. All right. So obviously coming out of the game, you know, Rome Odunze was the big story on the injury front. As our guy over at Windy City Gridiron, Bill Zimmerman, pointed out on Twitter, I think he was the first guy to kind of show the play where this happened. It happened to that swing pass off to the right-hand side to Valus late in the game. I think about 4 or 5 minutes left in the game, and Rome got rolled up from behind. I don't think this was Valus's, you know, fault. I even posted on my Twitter feed the all 22 from behind, so you could see that he really got pushed in to Rome. Yeah. But it looked brutal, and you know, he had the MRI and everything. And so it turns out he's got the sprained MCL, and it seems like as this week has gone on, it's become less and less serious, you know, because at first they were like, okay, he's week to week. And now like today, Flus was like, oh, he's day to day. I think he even said like, quote, not a big deal or something like that. I mean, Jacob, I wouldn't want to play around with it, but I mean, what are your thoughts on what we're hearing right now?
Yeah. I mean, either, you know, the early thoughts were a lot more extreme than it ended up being, or Rome Odunze just like took the super soldier serum or whatever, and now he's like a, you know, he's a super healer or something. Or what is it that like Wolverine and Deadpool, they've got, is that adamantium or something?
Yeah.
But yeah, that might be Rome Odunze. But either way, I think that, you know, you've got to, like you said, play it careful. Obviously, it'd be nice to have him against the Texans, but you have a whole season to worry about here. If you're worried it's going to aggravate anything, then, you know, I'd probably sit him for this week and then bring him back next week. But I'm very encouraged to hear it wasn't serious, even more encouraged to hear that it's going from week to week to day to day. And it's like, if you only miss one game of Odunze for this, I mean, I'm – all things considered, I take it, because I know some people are crying, oh, yeah, that's ACL, he's done. Mm-hmm. They're like, oh, major MCL something, he's out for a couple months, you know. So to get that now he's day to day. I mean, it's a, you know, it's a pretty refreshing change, I feel like, at least.
Oh, I had doomsday in my head the whole time when this happened, because it looked so brutal. And I mean, obviously, I wish Jordan Love the best, and we saw that. I don't want the guy to get injured, but, you know, they dodged a bullet big time there. Yeah. And I'm thinking in the back of my head, being a Bears fan, and I'm kind of conditioned to think this way. I'm like, oh, of course, you know, they escaped that. Now we're going to lose Rome for the whole year, you know, to get injured in the first game. And because it looked terrible in that video. But I'm encouraged by what's happened, and I don't want them to rush him back. You know, I would be stunned if he played this week. I don't think he should play this week. And, you know, you look at the schedule, and they get the Rams after that. It's going to be a really tough game. Then they got Carolina, which they should hopefully easily win. So, I mean, the next two games are pretty tough after the Texans, Colts, then the Rams. I left out the Colts, sorry. Colts, then the Rams. Those are going to be two pretty tough games. But, I mean, I hope we don't rush them back is all I'm saying, because I don't want to play around with something like this. It could turn more serious, you know, bring him back slowly. You know, if they do bring him back, you know, I imagine it'll be on some kind of snap count or something. So,
yeah, I mean, I'm not saying Odunze is this, but I'm getting Kevin White flashbacks where it's like, oh no, you know, the stud rookie wide receiver's getting a re-aggravated injury right out of the gate. And then it happens again, And then by that time, you know, all the juice is gone. So yeah, definitely better safe than sorry with that. But Yeah. I mean, their medical staff knows a lot more than I do, but it's, I'm glad to know that I wasn't alone in thinking, oh, he's toast. He's done for the year. Because of course that's the luck the Bears have.
Yep.
You know? Yeah. We're just getting screwed left and right here. So I'm glad that's not the case.
Hopefully things are changing because it looks like we dodged a bullet here. And yeah. I'm very encouraged by what I've been hearing about Rome. So guys, by the way, if you're watching right now, and you know, we got a decent crowd watching us on YouTube right now. If you have any questions for Jacob and I, get those in the chat. We can cover them at the very end of the show. We want this to be interactive, you know, drink with us, talk football with us, laid back, have a good time. So anything you guys want us to talk about in the closing segment, you can throw that in the chat and we will. But before we get there, it's time, Jacob, to talk about Sunday Night Football this week. Big game down in Houston, home opener for the Houston Texans. CJ Stroud, Caleb Williams, that's going to be the big storyline. Can Caleb bounce back? You know, he's going to have more pressure on him this week to deliver against a playoff caliber team, a team that people think could be in line for a Super Bowl run. I had a chance to go back and to watch their game against the Colts. I assume you probably did too.
Yeah.
I mean, how are you feeling about this game before we get into, you know, what the Colts were able to do with them? Do you have much confidence that the Bears can pull this thing off? Certainly the Bulls couldn't pull this off. If the Bears could pull this off, I mean, what is your confidence level going into this one?
I mean, I'm pretty confident they can keep it close. I'm not very confident they can win, honestly, because I look at the Texans as, you know, yeah, they probably should have, you know, won by more than it ended up being. There were a couple of big plays. Anthony Richardson was able to get down deep on him, which that in itself, that's such a weird game from him where it's like only 9 completions, but 3 of them were like, you know, 50, 60 yards.
Yeah.
Like that was such a weird game, but, yeah, no, I mean, I think you need to, I want to see what the offense can do first. I think the defense, I feel like there's only so much you can do to, you know, like, I don't think you're going to neutralize this Texans offense completely. I think you're going to slow them down. I think you're going to bend, don't break approach with them, force them to kick field goals, force them to, you know, maybe they get like a first down, a drive, and then have to punt, something like that. That'd be considered a win in my book. But I just want to see what the offense can do because the tackles looked really good last week, but now you're going against Will Anderson and you're going against Danielle Hunter. That's a completely different ball game. At the same time, Houston's interior defensive line doesn't look as good as the Titans does. So I'm curious to see if the guards and the center bounce back, from, you know, a pretty subpar performance. All things considered, I think it just comes down to how the offense is going to do. I mean, I think the defense, I feel pretty confident in what the defense is at this point. I think Eberflus has proven himself as an above average defensive play caller. They have really good personnel on that side of the ball. Just the offense, that's a complete question mark right now. So if that unit bounces back, I mean, it could be a tight game, but if not, then I don't know.
When I saw this game on the schedule, I like immediately put it down as a loss. We're going to Houston. It's going to be a lot of pressure Sunday night. I will say, though, when I watched the game against the Colts, I was a little more encouraged, you know, because the Colts were able to have some success and they're not some kind of juggernaut. You know, they had CJ under duress a lot in this game. They were able to get pressure. And based on what I saw from the Bears D-line last week, they should be able to get some pressure on him, too. And you mentioned the dynamic of what our offensive line is going to be going up against. And it's flipped, right? Because now the guys on the outside are so good, you know, with Anderson and Hunter. And so, I mean, I think we got to attack the middle of their defensive line. We got to get the run game going, which, you know, we kind of got away from in week one. We had some success where Swift looked pretty good. But you know, we got behind, so we had to throw the ball a lot. I think if we can run the ball effectively, which, you know, Indianapolis, they don't get me wrong, they didn't run the ball well against them, but they had, you know, a couple times where it was looking okay. Richardson had some scrambles where he's able to get down the field a little bit, but they were mostly attacking the middle of the line. So I think we got to stick to that run game. You know, we got to have Kmet out there more as a safety blanket for Caleb to kind of get him going, certainly. And then, you know, like you said, they're going to get points. No question about it. I mean, early in that game, the Colts were holding them to field goals, but look, they still ended up with 29 points. You know, Stroud's going to, he's going to have some nice plays. He's going to scramble. He's going to make some passes. Joe Mixon looked awesome in that game. I mean, I'm worried about containing him. You know, our run D looked good for the most part, but except for that third drive where they just ran it down our throats, the Titans.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can't let Mixon do that. I mean, he averaged over 5 yards a carry. He was fast as hell in that game against the Colts. So we're definitely going to need the D-line to step up early and stop Mixon in his tracks. You know, if they can do all of that, which is a tall order, and Caleb can rebound, be accurate, I think they have a shot. I wouldn't pick them in this game personally, but I think they can keep it close. And, you know, if some of those things come through, and if it's close, I mean, like someone said in our chat here, anything can happen.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you 100%. And I think that's a good breakdown of, you know, where the Colts found success. And I mean, I agree. You know, you keep Cole Kmet in there a little bit more, even just to, you know, not only to be that security blanket across the middle of the field, but also to be, the, you know, to pitch in on chip blocks too. Like, you don't want to have Kmet one-on-one with Hunter or Anderson, mm-hmm. but, you know, have him, you know, give him a little pop off the line of scrimmage and then have him run like a hitch or something, like just, or, you know, a curl, something basic that just gets him to sit and work himself open. You know, I think could be helpful for these tackles, you know, relatively younger guys. So I think you summed it up well, and there's a non-zero chance that they win this game. I mean, mathematically and, you know, whatever. But I'm not like a betting guy, but I looked the money line, you know, like I'd take Texans money line for sure. But, you know, it's like, I think it's Houston 6.5. I think that's a close one, but I think Chicago could keep it closer than that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think that could be a play. For sure. Yeah. I do a little betting. I'm not confident enough yet. Maybe I just haven't had enough booze tonight. You know, you start feeding Jacob these beers, give him a couple more IPAs. Maybe he's going to pick the Bears by 30 or something. Who knows what will happen?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I'm in Missouri, but I'll cross the border over to Illinois and I'll place $1,000 on the Bears to win the Super Bowl if I get enough IPAs in me. So we'll see.
I like this screen name in the chat, Bruja. I like the brews, and definitely Rojo. I would like to see Roshan in this game too. I think that, you know, yeah, activate him, have Valus inactive. I think that would be solid. I'd be on board with that.
Yeah.
Jarrell had asked, how did the Texans line compare to the Titans? And we kind of talked about that a little bit. As far as D-line goes, I mean, yeah, just different strengths. Certainly the Titans had that strength in the middle, whereas the Texans are super solid on the outsides. So what did you think of the O-line of the Texans? Because like I said, I mean, CJ was under a lot of duress in that game.
Yeah, I mean, I came away not super impressed with Houston's offensive line. And I mean, I look at them on paper and it's like, you know, like I don't look at it as that's a bad offensive line. I mean, I think historically Laremy Tunsil's been quite good. Shaq Mason's been quite good historically. They've got some young guys I like, but they just weren't great. I mean, I think like the interior was solid. They allowed some pressure up the middle as well as off the edge. I look at that offensive line and I'm like, okay, this is a group that especially maybe a little bit better than the Titans, but not by much, you know, like maybe they're not, and maybe they're a little more well-rounded, but I don't know. I don't look at this Texans offensive line and I'm like, oh, they're going to shut down this Bears defense, especially looking at what they did against a below average offensive line last week. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, and we'll see. Like, I know, you know, maybe a guy like Mason bounces back, maybe a guy like Tunsil solidifies himself and shows why people think he's one of the best in the game, or at least was at one point. But we'll see. I think that's an opportunity that the Bears could follow suit from the Colts and generate some pressure. And if the defensive line looks as good as it did last week, then certainly it's a game. Certainly, yeah. It's something that they can, you know, they can push and make it competitive.
And I mean, given the Bears' strength then on the back of the defense, you know, if they get CJ scrambling, he's under pressure and he's throwing the ball way down the field. We saw last week, you know, Jalen, Tyreek, they can come through. And yeah, it could be a game. I would not be shocked if this is a very close game, but we definitely need the offense to come together, and we're going to need that, you know, the offensive line to gel a little bit better. But I mean, I think the defensive line is going to be playing with some real momentum coming off of week one, and it could make life a little difficult for Mr. CJ Stroud, for sure.
Yeah.
What do we have here? Okay. Our guy Bruja is checking in with a beer. Finally, you guys have got to be drinking beers with us. Now, I don't want to be a bad influence, but it's the gimmick. Bears over beers. Here we go. He says, I'm drinking a hazy IPA called Juice Box from Sons of Kent in Chatham, Ontario, Canada. Yeah, hey, that sounds right up my alley. Love juicy IPAs.
Yeah. That sounds nice.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you were talking earlier, Jacob, you're not a big IPA guy. That's the way to go, because the juicy IPA is like the Citra hop. If I'm going to get a little into the beers right now, Citra hop is so good. And that's a smooth transition to getting into the more bitter IPAs. So by the end of this season, I mean, I'm going to have you drinking 9% IPAs. No question about it.
I'm sure I'll make my way over to the bitters at some point. I'm definitely if I do have to go IPA, then, you know, typically something with a little bit more of a citrusy kick is more my speed. I don't know why I'm thinking, like, literally just the only thing I think that I'm just thinking of Canada right now. I'm like, I don't know. This is totally nothing to do with the show, but like the first thing that's coming to my mind right now is like, I haven't been there. I haven't been in Canada in like, God, like 10 years. I kind of want to go back. And now that, you know, I took a winery tour up in Montreal one time.
Ooh,
and nice. Now I was like too young, I think, to understand what, you know, and appreciate it. But if I can go back now and, you know, maybe go to like a brewery or a winery or something like that, I think that'd be a real good time.
Heck yeah. I'm jealous. I've never been to Montreal. That is on my list. I would love to go to Montreal. I've been to Canada once, 1998, long time ago. It's a long time ago.
There you go. Yeah, that's just post Montreal Screwjob, Canada. So,
you know, when you brought up Montreal, we both like wrestling. I host a wrestling podcast, you guys, Top Rope Nation. I got a Bret Hart book behind me over here. I'm like, should I bring it up? Should I bring it up? Yeah. I have to see where it all went down and where Bret Hart punched out Vince McMahon. Pay homage.
Did you saw the segment? I know we don't want to get too much into it, but the segment from Monday when Bret Hart came out with Gunther saying like, oh, you're a close second behind my personal favorite, Bill Goldberg.
Great heel work.
He's the best. He's the best. I love him, but
that would be like someone coming into Soldier Field and be like, you know, Caleb, I like you. All right. But my favorite is Aaron Rodgers. That would be like the exact comparison to football, for sure.
Yeah, 100%. Like you don't say I love Aaron Rodgers in Soldier Field, just like you don't say. Well, I mean, I guess
it'd be like
you
Shawn
don't
Michaels say, maybe too, but yeah. Goldberg is the guy who ended his career. So
yeah, and I think the fact that he went with the full name, like at no point in WWE was he Bill Goldberg, but that's Bret Hart references him as that all the time. Yep. And then, going on a wrestling tangent, but I thought that was funny.
You're speaking my language, man. Bret Hart is my favorite pro wrestler of all time, easily. Oh, yeah. And you guys can hear me talk wrestling tomorrow night. Subscribe to Top Rope Nation for the wrestling talk. I've been doing that pod since 2016, but having a chance to talk about the Chicago Bears and do another podcast every other week here on the channel and with the rotating hosts. It's a weekly show, but I'll be on here usually every other week. This is truly a dream come true, and this hour has flown by, Jacob. Yeah. This has been a great discussion. I mean, I'm looking forward to the season and talking with you and the other guys. It's going to be a good time.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm stoked for it too. And like you said, it's just going to be, I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And I truthfully didn't realize that it's been an hour until I saw the little ticker in the corner there. And I'm like, whoa, you know, so it's definitely flies by. And I know you're probably thinking the same thing. Like, I'm just happy to have Bears football back and have things to talk about, because for a couple months there, it's just dragging. And it's like, you can only play the game of, oh, how's so-and-so going to do for so long without it being tiresome. But now there's concrete stuff we can talk about. And I'm just grateful to be along for the ride. I appreciate that, you know, being here with you. I'm excited to, you know, hop in with the rest of the guys here. But yeah, no, I'm just stoked and grateful to be a part of it. And I'm glad to hear you are too, because it's going to be a lot of fun for us.
Yeah. Well said. The longest off season in Bears history is finally over, and we got real games to talk about. Yeah. It's going to be a long wait Sunday night, but we'll get there. Yeah. And we'll be talking about it all here on the channel. Check out all the other great content. I mean, we got shows pretty much every day going up here on Second City Gridiron. So make sure you are subscribed to the channel. Make sure you're reading Windy City Gridiron every single day. We've got an awesome staff, great Bears writing going up every day. Analysis, opinion, news, whatever you're looking for, we got it. Jacob, where can the listeners follow you on social media?
Of course. So yeah, you guys can follow me on Twitter, X, whatever, at Jacob Infante 24. Obviously, you know, like Ryan said, you can, you know, find my stuff at Windy City Gridiron, all my written articles and stuff like that. My Patreon is in my Twitter bio, with, you know, that's got the weekly Bears scouting reports. And every once in a while I'll have, you know, NFL draft updates on what my board looks like. So yeah, I mean, I'm excited for it. I'm, you know, just grateful to be, you know, on this platform talking Bears and getting to meet new people. And you know, it like you said, I'll copy your wording. It's a dream come true, really. So, yeah, I mean, I appreciate the chance to be on here. And, yeah, I mean, a bear down, I guess, is the last thing I'll say.
Absolutely.
I can't really else, but, you know, I feel like it's, you know, of course. I mean, yeah, bear down, yeah. Whatever.
Recommend checking out Jacob's Patreon. His scouting reports are awesome. You know, sometimes you post some sneak peeks on your Twitter page as well, so people can see what you're doing over there. So make sure to check it out, and all of his writing too. Like I said, on Windy City Gridiron, you can follow me at Ryan Droste. That's Droste. And you can find my other show, Top Rope Nation, wherever podcasts are found as well. And we will be talking to all of you again real soon. Go Bears. Have a great week.